Morrilton wins, Philly loses badly. Sorry, Marnie. Not everything goes our way. Could be worse. Could be a Cowboys fan. Crowd's
going crazy. Just got a tweet from our friend Matt Harris. He just wants to be put out of his misery. Those were his actual words.
What did I tell you?
Yeah.
I don't know how you keep from eating a shotgun if you're a Cowboys fan.
That's
seriously.
One guy I really would have liked to see it. It's too bad we don't get defensive with him right now.
I guarantee he's a lot more upset than I am, and I'm not even a fan. That poor guy. Hey, good news for him, though. I do want to commend OBU. They're going to name their stadium after his father,
That's
Cliff
so
Harris,
cool.
which is great.
So cool.
So they're going to do – it's going to be a new stadium, too. So the fundraising part of it's underway. They're calling it a 100-yard campaign. So I know you root for the team on the other side of the street, but we all love Cliff Harris. Great guy, and his son obviously has been a great asset for us here at the Buzz as well. So we wish the whole family well, and they got the award that they're underway and trying to decide who the best small college defensive player of the year is. So it's named in Cliff's honor. So
and they only have 100 finalists.
Well, it's going to be paired back this week, I understand. They're going to get down to a...
I don't know how David and his committee are able to sift through it. It's amazing the work they're putting into it.
It is remarkable. I guess we are not going to hear from, in the near future, the...
I'm emailing him again.
Okay, no sweat. We are hoping to talk to the Arkansas State women's bowling coach. I just think it's fascinating. I don't know how that all comes about. I don't know how they go out. I did say they had a girl on their team, an athlete from Michigan. It's a national recruiting program, my man. They're all over the country. I guess you can't get a scholarship to bowl everywhere, but... Anyway, kind of cool. Let me get a couple more Cowboys fans in here. Hey, Fletcher.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, buddy.
Well, hey, what do you think about the Cowboys' defense is not all that different than the Broncos' defense. I mean, am I not right?
The what now?
The Broncos and the Dallas have about the same type of defense.
In what way? Do they have 11 guys on the field at the same time, or...
Well, I mean, they both. I mean, you can kind of go through Denver's defense. They just are able to outscore you and don't throw pickoffs at the end of the game most of the time.
Well, that's a huge difference, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, the offense could definitely help your defense look better. I would also say that the defense in both places have had their moments, I suppose. But I don't know. The bottom line is I don't know where. And again, some guy asked earlier, what would you do? I don't know. I don't even know. It's almost like they're cursed. I don't get it. I don't know how. And again, Phil and I were talking in the break. You don't even get to sniff success. You don't get to go win a playoff game or two here and there. You don't even get to an NFC championship game. You don't get, anywhere. That's the thing. It's like you're either, you won a title, I guess, a few years ago, several years ago now, or you're nothing. I mean, basically.
Right. I mean, the Cowboys have this legacy that you have to be able to live up to it every once in a while. You know, the 5 Super Bowls, but it's been a long time. It's kind of like, I mean, you're going back 30 extra years, but the Cleveland Browns, I mean, one point were one of the premier organizations in the NFL. That was before the Super Bowl was invented. They haven't even been to the Super Bowl. So they have this legacy that they can't necessarily reach back to. Cowboys fans aren't there yet. I mean, they're actually far from that. But you're kind of on that path. Because, I mean, each year you're not necessarily relevant in the... Not in the conversation in the preseason as to who's a contender. Once it comes down to being a contender, you're not.
It's not a healthy organization because you're not even sniffing it. You know, that's my thing. You don't have to win it every year. You don't even have to get super close every year, but you got to sniff some success every year.
Right.
They can't smell anything. They've had a cold for a long time. Jerry.
Hello?
Hey, Jerry.
You swimming, Jerry?
Good. What's up?
You know, I was born in 1964, right here in Central Arkansas. Mm-hmm. It was a beautiful year. Beatles came to America. Stones weren't far behind. Arkansas Razorbacks were national champions. It was the bad old Southwest Conference day. And I was raised to hate Texas and everything about Texas, except for the occasional vacation to Six Flags down there. And I don't understand what it is about people down here that are America's team. Who decided that?
I'm with you on that, Jerry. I mean, I think that's a complete farce.
Says Steelers fan.
Is it that much farther a drive to St. Louis or Kansas City or Nashville? I know these teams ain't exactly been burning up the NFL, but, I mean, they're never going to amount to nothing as long as Jerry Jones is GM. I guarantee it.
Hmm.
Maybe not as long as he owns them.
What has changed from the mid-90s to today? That's the question, because he was running things then.
People he's trusting?
Maybe he's losing it.
I mean, I don't know about that. But Jerry, I appreciate the call. Hang in there, man. I don't know. I don't know.
Influence of family members? I don't know. I mean, maybe the NFL has changed in and of itself. It's tougher to put that winning product on the field. I can't answer that.
I can't either. That's the thing. I don't see anything like, oh, well, that's it. That's what's doing it. I don't get it. I don't get it. I hate it for you guys, though, anyway. Hang in there.
Well, you know, and what he's saying is, why do you hate it for him? If you're here from Arkansas, it sounds like me. To
because
me,
I'm surrounded by
everything involved in the state.
Same reason I hate it for Arkansas fans when things don't go well. I mean, in that case, at least I'm one of you. But I'm not a Cardinals fan, but I understand. I mean, I try to speak from a perspective knowing that I'm talking to a lot of Cardinals fans when I talk. I don't root for the Cardinals. I'm a Cubs fan. I'm the exact opposite. But I also feel for them when things don't go well. I mean, I hate it. This is a Cowboys state. I don't know why it is. I don't know why they're supposedly America's team. They're a national brand in a way that most other teams in that league aren't.
I agree with you that, I mean, they're a national brand. They're one of the five organizations in the NFL that you would say is an anchor to the league.
And the Raiders are a national brand, but the Raiders suck every year. Yesterday they got outscored by one guy. Jamaal Charles scored, well, I guess you have to count the PATs, but he scored 30 on his own, and they had 31. His team blew them out, of course. The Chiefs destroyed the Raiders, but the Raiders have been bad. Remember when Chiefs and Raiders games meant something and that was a good rivalry?
Sure. Almost every game in that division was a rivalry.
But that's a national brand, Phil, but they suck, and so it's different. I mean, the Cowboys fans, they're just good enough to keep it interesting and make you pay attention and make you get emotionally invested. Yesterday's a game where I'm totally into it. I'm thinking, if I'm a Cowboys fan, I'm totally into this thing, and I'm thinking, gee, we're still relevant. We still have a chance to win the division. The Raiders, I mean, you could have given up about week six, so it was a little different.
Yeah, they're a guilty pleasure for some people, though, watching the Cowboys. I mean, you know you're going to be entertained every week.
I feel it for you. A couple things quick, and we'll take a couple more calls. I don't know if we're going to talk any bowling today, which I guess we'll probably survive without. But
well, that's new.
UCA, for those of you who are wondering, because of my association with the school, I had no clue. I got a call Friday night that something was going down, and it was totally out of the blue to me. Had no clue. I have since spoken to Coach Conk. I have talked to the athletic director. I know there's a search underway. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of interest from a lot of talented coaches. I'm sure that Dr. Teague, rather, will do a fantastic job. Now, he has to replace the men's basketball coach, assuming that he does not decide to stay with the interim, and I guess that's still up in the air. But he'll be hiring a new men's basketball coach and a football coach this year, so he's got a lot on his plate right now. But I just all I would say is that Coach Conk has done a spectacular job, had 14 great years, and it was a great ride. Sully and I have had an awesome time doing the games. I've been involved with UCA for 10 years, doing Coach's Show and other different things that I've done for UCA over the last decade, which is amazing to me. But anyway, it's it's a great run, and I wish Coach well. I mean, there was some financial implications as to why he's taken what many people consider to be a lateral move to Stephen F. Austin. It's just they're in a little different position. They've been at it in Division I a little bit longer. They have a little bit different makeup from an institution standpoint, I guess, financially. So anyway, like I told him, I'll be rooting for you 11 times a year. And the other game, of course, I hope you lose. Not by a lot, but by a little bit. So I'm sure he'll do well. I'm sure the next guy that comes in to UCA will do a great job as well. So that coaching search is underway, and if we have any updates, we will get those to you. We do expect to talk to Coach Conk. I think he's going to be introduced at SFA later this week, and I'm anticipating we'll get him on the show before the end of the week. ASU coaching search continues as well, and of course they are preparing for a bowl game. There's a rally at the Capitol at noon today, which I know RJ is covering, and we'll hear from the principals involved in the preparation for the GoDaddy Bowl coming up tomorrow. After the rally today at noon, I'm going to be attending the game, Phil, in person. I've never been to the bowl game in Mobile. I have been to the last time that ASU played in a bowl game that was not in Mobile. I was there, and it was the New Orleans Bowl, but it was played in Lafayette that year because of Katrina.
Right, yeah.
And so I'll be going to Mobile this year. It's January 5th. It's the day before the national championship game, 8 o'clock kick, and we will be there Friday before for the show, and we will be there Monday after the show with a recap. So hopefully they can do well. Playing a very talented Ball State team that finished just behind Northern Illinois in their division in the MAC, I guess, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and we didn't even talk about the Heisman yet, which we will get to. But congratulations to Jameis Winston. Not even a smidgen of a surprise at all there. The only thing that surprised me was that Manziel was as far back as he was and that Lynch finished third.
What weren't there some writers that did not even list Winston on their ballot?
Probably. I don't know.
I think there were about 9 or 10 of them that didn't do that wouldn't put him on.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure there's
some sort
of
a protest, I guess, but yeah. Protesting what?
Protesting a crime that was not committed. You know. So Yeah, we had a lengthy discussion about that, but it, you know, people are going to have their feelings regardless. And anyway, but he,
yeah, but he's the Heisman winner, and I think it was clear cut from the start. I will point out. Maybe you have to go back into your archives, but one of the first shows that we did during this college football season, Justin, you asked me. And maybe it was just because I had just watched him play beating Pitt in his first college start. You asked me, who do you think might have a shot at the Heisman? And I did point and said, I like this kid, Jameis Winston, that I just saw shred Pitt. I was just impressed with his arm, impressed with his poise. Maybe I just threw a name out there, but I did pick him.
Well, you were way ahead of the curve. Jason.
What's going on, man?
Hey, bud.
You said a couple things. You said that many would consider a lateral move. What do you think? On Coach Cohn. I know it might be hard for you to say. But.
Well, no, I mean, professionally, I don't think you could construe it any other way, but I mean, financially, there's an uptick there, and there's an ability to do some things with your coordinators and your assistants.
That was my next thing. I was told that it was kind of like Brett Bielema's deal, that he wasn't able to get the money for his assistants like he would like to, and that's pretty much what you're confirming.
Well, David McCollum wrote that in his column. I don't know if you saw that. He writes for the paper in Conway, does a spectacular job. He covers the Bears closely. I have not heard that from Coach, and I've not really heard that from. Well, I haven't heard it at all from the administration. But apparently that was part of the story that David wrote. So I guess that's a consideration. And
yeah.
And certainly he has done a spectacular job, much like Bielema did at Wisconsin, of hiring coaches that have gone on to similar positions elsewhere, and in most cases, I assume for more money. So it's frustrating,
yeah, I mean,
I'm sure.
And then, I mean, it is, as a coaching position, it is a lateral move, in my opinion. But
yeah,
you said that, and then the recruiting, though, it's so much more fertile recruiting grounds there. It would be easier to recruit the state of Texas. It's close to Louisiana, so he can still hit Louisiana up as well.
Yeah, but all those things you just said are also true about Conway. I don't know that there's going to be a huge advantage there, to be honest with you. You're right in the middle of it, admittedly. But I would say that Conway has a lot more to sell, and the UCA campus has more to sell. I haven't spent a lot of time in Nacogdoches, but I've been there enough to know that I would much rather live in Conway.
Yeah, so. When I played at Henderson State, we went down there and got beat by Stephen F. Austin. But a couple other things real quick. On America's team, it's pretty much, I mean, aren't they the most profitable, or don't they make more money or whatever than any other United States team? I think they're like the,
yes,
or worth the most or whatever.
Just like Texas. They are the same exact thing as Texas. They are the NFL equivalent of the University of Texas. They make a lot of money, they have every advantage, and yet they still don't seem to get there often enough.
I mean, and they own their stadium, and all the revenue that's coming through there ends up in their coffers. That's not necessarily the same with a lot of other teams that lease their stadium.
As NFL owners go, Jerry Jones is a great businessman.
Yeah, but they've always. I mean, like I said, they've always.
Unfortunately, as NFL GMs go, Jerry Jones is a great businessman.
He's like Al Davis in that sense. But okay,
except he does not wear a windsuit, nor does he look creepy.
No, not yet.
No.
On Charlie Partridge, I'm sure you've already talked about him being named the Florida Atlantic University head coach.
We haven't talked about it, but I certainly applaud him and wish him nothing but the best. He seems to be. A great fit, I mean, as far as his recruiting ties down there, and one of the more pleasant guys to be around as far as that coaching staff goes. Not that the other guys aren't great, but he's very active on Twitter, seems to have a good lighthearted sense of humor. I think he'll be a good fit down there.
Oh, he'll kill it back in his hometown. I mean, you know, close to his hometown, being from down there. Other thing is, I'll give you a couple, I'm sure you've already seen it, but apparently Bo Davis, the Texas defense lineman head coach, is really wanting the job. Supposedly he's already reached out to us, something like that. So somebody was saying it was on footballscoop.com or something like that. But like I said, you know, I talked to some people up there, and supposedly he's really liking the job. He was the one. He was been with Nick Saban for like 7 or 8 years before he moved to Texas, became their D-line coach. He was at Alabama's defensive line coach. So that would be a huge – I mean, Charlie Partridge is probably one of the best defensive line coaches, especially if you count his recruiting in the nation. But Bo Davis would be a huge get. So that's just one name out there. I'm sure you know some other names, but either way, that's one name I'd keep an eye on.
I follow coaching moves about as well as I cover recruiting, not very. So
yeah.
When Coach Bielema names him, that's when I'll know, and nothing before that.
I think for whatever reason, man, the coaching hires, and like this time of year, I found it really interesting. I love how, I mean, they go everywhere and look at, you know, how many positions open up, especially once the Texas, once somebody gets hired at Texas, a lot of dominoes will fall as well. So, all right, guys, y'all have a good one.
Thanks, man. Take care, Jason. Appreciate it. Hey, Dennis.
Hey, what's going on?
What's up?
I just want to let you guys know, first of all, I'm a Packer and a Steeler fan, so I was satisfied with the Dallas game yesterday.
So are we.
Well, you had to be beside yourself when they played in the Super Bowl. How did you handle that?
Well, you know, it's I've been a fan of the Packers since Bart Starr, so I go back a little ways and all that. But my question was, did y'all happen, I guess y'all may have already covered it, the receiver that walked off the field before the game was over?
Dez Bryant being Dez Bryant, is that what you're talking about?
I think so. And then after the game, the coach basically told the media that the interception that Romo threw was actually called a running play, and he changed it. Romo changed it at the line. And, this guy's notorious, and y'all already know this. He, you know, when it comes to the end of the game, he just, I mean, he does great the whole game. Then all of a sudden, when it's a close game, he just, man, he chokes the bad.
Yeah, anecdotally, that's true. And yesterday was a prime example, the worst of the worst. But if you look, I had a stat on Twitter a while back that I put out that he actually has been as successful or more successful than just about anybody in the league as far as leading fourth quarter comebacks or being part of fourth quarter comebacks. So it's a little unfair to say that, and I know there was a number that came out yesterday, and I can't remember exactly what the stat was. I'll try to pull up here in a second, but that's the perception. I don't know that the reality would agree with that. The bottom line is, whatever Joe Montana has, he's the opposite of that. He is a statistical wunderkind who can't seem to win. Even Marino didn't seem to have end-of-game gaffes. They didn't win a lot, but they had some issues outside of him.
Actually, Marino, I think, had the most fourth-quarter comebacks up until recently.
The other thing I was going to mention, and I don't know if it's a conspiracy, but Jerry Jones, his skybox, it seems like when I've watched them, when something goes great or something, they make a point of showing him and up there high-fiving and dancing around. But when something goes bad, they never – unless I missed it, I didn't see it yesterday – and I just wondered if he's throwing things in the skybox or...
He's teeth whitener, yeah.
All right, guys. Have a great day.
Dennis, take care. We got to take a timeout. Scott, hang on. We'll get to you in just a sec. 10:51 in the zone. All right. Jump up.